Well, it is. It's good to be together, the family that the Lord has brought together. One prayer request I failed to mention earlier, and I should have, but I just wanted to mention it this morning because it's very relevant right now. A dear friend of ours, she's a pharmacist. She's from Nova Scotia. Her first name is Janice. We're very good friends of her and her husband. But anyway, Janice is in Africa right now. She's in Benin. But she's there as a pharmacist and as teaching kids Bible stories and that type of thing. So, but anyway, when in her flight, they have lost her luggage. And the problem with that, there's a lot of medication in that luggage that was designed for this ministry. And also Bible materials as well. So you might really pray that God would just work through this and allow her to get her luggage and the supplies that are needed for a lot of the needy children that she'll be ministering to. Janice loves the Lord and is there to serve the Lord. So you might just pray for Janice this day. And Jim mentioned this. There's so many other needs, and sometimes we don't feel comfortable, maybe it's not appropriate, but really pray for our family, because everybody goes through stresses, right? Everybody has difficult times. We need God's grace and help, and so pray for, and as Jim said, it's not the least we can do, it's the most we can do, because we allow God to do it, and let's just pray right now. Father, we are here today, and I thank you for each one here, for new faces and faces that have been here before in the past. We just rejoice that we can, as soon as we see another brother and sister in Christ, it's a joy to be able to draw near and just have fellowship, and we thank you for that. I thank you for all those who are ministering to our Sunday school children. We pray that you'll work wonderfully. We pray that you would work in a mighty way in the lives of these little ones. And may each of them come in your time to faith in Christ to be their Savior. And Father, I think of those who are getting ready to enter into university. I just pray for them, God. Protect them, bless them. May this be a productive year, spiritually as well as academically. So help them. And Father, for those who are struggling, we all have different needs and struggles and face different trials. May we just draw near to you and allow your grace to meet our needs. Just guide us. We need wisdom throughout all of life, but especially in the rough spots. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you that the Lord Jesus is alive, and he is the living Savior. And we thank you that he is available to be the Savior to each one here. We pray that none would leave without him as their Savior. And guide us. May our words be true to your word. May you be the one who leads us by your Spirit. May we just accomplish what you want to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. What's so great about the gospel? I was with some dear friends of mine recently, and we were in a cafeteria. And it's interesting what different people like, right? Going through cafeteria, and one of my Polish friends, some of the interesting snacks that he has, right? My French friend, some of the snacks that he has, I can't pronounce. But anyway, it's interesting what we go through a cafeteria, right? And we say, well, no, I don't want any of that. Or, yeah, boy, I'm going to come back for some more of that, right? And we're going through life, and a lot of people treat the gospel like it's just one thing in the cafeteria of choices. And a lot of people in life are just walking right past the gospel because they don't think it amounts to much. What is the value? What is it a big deal? Does it really matter? Does it matter if you pass right on by and don't receive the gospel? What would you miss if you pass on by? What are some of the results of the gospel? And that's what we want to look at this morning. If you'll go with me, I want to go to Romans chapter 5. And I want you to think with me about some of the great results that God has for you if you receive the gospel. Now, when we enter into Romans 5, verse 1, the hinge that the door opens on is the little word, therefore. You see that in your text? Romans 5, 1, therefore. Now, what it's doing, and the old statement people often say in Bible study, ask what it is there for. So think about, what is this hinge doing? Well, it's looking back. It's looking back to all this amazing truth that's already been presented in chapters 1 up to chapter 4. And if you remember, the entry door of the gospel of Romans is found, and I'll read this to you. This is a major passage in the whole book. It sets forth where the book is going, why it's there. Romans 1:16, it says this. Paul writes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The reason, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So the gospel, from God's standpoint, is his power for salvation to everyone who believes. Now, the first four chapters really focuses in a defense of belief. We're saved by grace through faith, as it says in Ephesians. But it talks about a defense of the gospel, which there's always attacks on the gospel. That's why you have to defend it, explain it, lay it out carefully, because you always have attack. Anything God has, Satan wants to destroy, right? So Paul sets forth this book, this awesome, wonderful book. And he says, therefore, and he reflects back. Again, I read in verse 1 of chapter 5, therefore, having been justified by faith. Now, we talked about that, by faith. The whole first section highlights faith, faith, faith. Having been justified by faith. Now, justification. And again, I hope you know this, but I restate it because it's critical. This was what drove Martin Luther crazy before he came to understand it. Because he knew he was not righteous. And the reformer that as someone has said, we rest on the shoulder of giants. He wasn't a perfect man, but God used him in an amazing way because he hated righteousness because he knew that was what was going to keep him out of heaven. But then he came to understand that righteousness is when we are credited by God to our spiritual account the righteousness of Christ. And then we are declared righteous, not because we've got it all together. We're so together. We're so righteous. No, no. It's because he is righteous. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead. He can credit to our spiritual account his righteousness. And we then are declared righteous by God, which is absolutely amazing. Now, we are to grow in righteousness, in practical righteousness, but we are saved the moment we put our faith. We're justified by faith when we trust Christ as our Savior. And we sure needed this. We sure needed this because in Romans 3:10, and this is something I imagine for many of you, it's riveted in your brain, but this is a very critical. There is none righteous, not even, how many? Not even one. You know, in our world, we think, well, you know, some people say, I'm the one. No. None of us are righteous. None of us. Not even one. That's pretty amazing. That's why we desperately need God's righteousness put to our account. And when we trust Christ, you know, the Lord Jesus died in our place. The critical component of the gospel, Christ, God, took on humanity so he could come into our world, come into this world of sin and sadness, come into our world and die on a cross to pay for your sin, my sin. And if we trust in him, we put our weight on him. As we've said, one way to think of faith is pat. Perceive the truth. You perceive the facts. Christ died on the cross. He rose from the dead. You perceive. Got to know the facts. That's why missionaries go to other parts of the world. That's why Janice is in Africa right now, trying to give the facts. Christ died for them, rose from the dead, and then accept those facts are true. There are a lot of people in universities, a lot of people around the world don't believe those facts are true. But there's clear historical evidence, as well as obviously biblical evidence, that Christ rose from the dead. He can save you. And then the last, the T is to trust. You trust your whole eternal destiny upon the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. And if you've done that, you've come to faith. And you are justified. Justified by faith. You have been justified by faith. It's an amazing thing. I hope that's true for you. You know, a lot of people are still trying to get better, prove, you know, improve, you know, their situation. Look good. You know what? None of us look good to God. None are righteous. Not even one. Not even one. That's why we need the righteousness of Christ put to our account. Now, let's say you've trusted. I so hope each one have put their faith in Christ. We realize, you know, I remember as a little boy, just as, and I went and I heard, you know, of course, I was raised in a church. I heard lots of sermons, you know, and you think, oh man, I've been here too long, right? But man, God just drove it to my heart, my great need for a Savior. And he convicted me as a little boy. He convicted me of my need for Christ. And I put my trust in the Lord Jesus just as a little dude. Justified. Now, I didn't have a clue all that meant. But I hope you have a clue what it means, that you've put your faith in Christ. You can be 95 or you can be 9. You can come to faith in him. Now, if you've trusted him and him alone to be your Savior, you're not trusting anything else, not trusting in your works, you're trusting in him and him alone, what did you get? What happened? Are you just kind of a member of a religious group? Well, God says, you've got something so amazing. You know, a lot of people, even people who have trusted Christ, don't know everything they have. And God wants to teach us more and more. I mean, obviously, all of us have more to learn. But notice the first thing that we come to in verse 1 of chapter 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. Before a man trusts Christ, a man, woman, boy, or girl trusts Christ, they are at war. Now, they may not realize that. But it says of all of us, that we were enemies of God. It will draw that out more down if we read chapter 5 down to 10, we're enemies. That's where we start, we're enemies with God. And you say, well, you know, I don't have a problem with God. why should I be an enemy? Well, you know what? It says in Colossians, and this talks to people who are saved, but it says in Colossians 1:21, you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind. Hostile. Ever had somebody just, no matter what you said, they were mad? You know, like, that's the way we are with God. You know, have you ever thought why there's so much anger in our world? So many people upset about everything with everybody? Well, it ultimately starts not with person against person. It ultimately starts that we have hostility toward God. We are upset. Who's he to tell us anything? I'm going to do it my way. Don't bother me, God. Don't call me, I'll call you. And so we go through life and we realize sometimes that my heart is in animosity toward God. And all it takes is the right situation, a few things that don't go right, and we start seeing how ugly it really is. Now, when we trust Christ, though, we have peace with God. You see, Romans talks about this. We're under God's wrath. You see, God is holy. God loves us. But God has to deal with sin, because if we don't deal with sin, wrath is shadowed over us. A holy God, that's all he can do with sin. He can't ignore it. It would totally compromise his character. But when we trust Christ, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. One writes, peace does not refer to here to inner tranquility, although that's a part of what this allows. Peace refers, and I continue to quote, refers to our no longer being subject to God's wrath because of sin. The death of Jesus Christ satisfies our debt of sin and set aside the resulting hostility so that God and people are no longer divided by rebellion, but reconciled in peace. Isn't that amazing? We don't have to be on the outs with God. We don't have to be at war with God. You ever seen two neighbors who are at each other? You know, I probably shared this years ago when we lived in Nova Scotia. We had this lady, and I didn't totally know everything that was going on inside her mind, but we had this other friend, and he would come and see us every once in a while. I mean, I probably told this story. He'd come in, and when he would get ready to go, he'd beep his little horn. Beep, beep. Did I tell you that story? Beep, beep. This lady, who lived right next to us, she hated the beep, beep for some reason. Right? I mean, it totally messed up her whole world. And so, our friend, who was not always as tactful as he should have been, beep, beep, right? Coming. She knew when he came. And so one day, he came. He was there for, I don't know how long, maybe an hour or so. She saw him go out, get in his car. She went out, and she stood right behind that car. She wasn't going anywhere. My friend was not quite sure what to do, and neither was I, right? you kind of hate to run over a lady. That's not really tactful, right? Anyway, she's a fuming. You could tell she hates that young kid, and he was just a young kid. He just, Hatewood was beaming through. If she was Superman, she'd have burned up his car. And she was looking at that. She was looking at that. And finally, I guess she decided. He sat there thinking, what do I do with this crazy lady? And anyway, and finally she moved over a little bit. He backed out and he took off. Beep, beep. Oh, man. It wasn't too long after that we decided to move. Yeah. Hostility. But you know what? That's the way it was with us, with God, until we trusted Christ. That makes all the difference. You know, the big deal is that allows us to go to heaven. That allows us to... You cannot take hostility into heaven. That would be like having a war in heaven, the holy war, all over again and forever. We're at peace. And you know what? I hope that you know Christ is your Savior, because that gives you peace, not only with God, but peace within your heart. You can go to sleep at night. You can go to sleep at night knowing that all is well. You are safe. You are safe. Hope you have that sense that you are safe. And notice, it's all through our Lord Jesus Christ. All through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's made it possible. Only through his work on the cross. When we celebrate, we think about the breaking of bread reminds us of his death. I'm going to read in Colossians again. In Colossians 1:20, it says, through him, Christ, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now, you know what? I cannot imagine what Christ went through to save us. I can't imagine. Now, there was the physical, and then there was the spiritual. I just can't grasp it. But the blood had to be shed for us to have peace with God. Isn't that amazing? You know, God didn't come down to us and say, let's make a deal. Let's kind of work this thing out. He did everything. He did everything. He, in His Son, came down and died in our place to make peace with Himself, to be reconciled. What an amazing God we have. What a wonderful God. Peace with God means safety for us. Now, that's just the beginning. Now let's look at another result. Notice, as you look at verse 2, through whom, the Lord Jesus, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. Through whom? Jesus. Also, we have obtained our introduction. The idea, introduction, the word was used like, let's say you were just a little regular old person, and you didn't have any fame to claim. You know, there was nothing like that. You're just regular old person, and for some reason, you come to the castle. And the castle, and there's the ruler, the monarch, not only of the, he's not the governor, he's the ruler of the country, he's the ruler. And you come to the castle of the monarch, and they absolutely, it's amazing, because you're just a nobody, you're a Zippo, right? And you come to the door, and the doorman opens for you, he opens for you. The massive door, and you have the privilege, just a little zero person, you come in, and you come before the king. And you come, and of course, if you weren't invited, that could be, it's all over, right? But the king lets you in because his son paved the way. And he lets you in, you have access, you have introduction to the King of Kings, the God of the universe. You're entered in. It's an amazing thing. Through whom we have obtained an introduction, our access. As one says, the Father extends the golden scepter to us and welcomes us as sons, not strangers. Now again, you can't miss this. If you do, you miss heaven. Notice, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith. By faith. God made it as absolutely simple as possible. It is by trusting Christ. It is not by climbing a mountain or doing some heroic deed. It's by trusting Christ, but it is through faith. And if you refuse to trust Him, the door is closed. We have faith. We come to faith in Him. We trust in Christ, and the door opens. And this is an amazing thing. Into the grace in which we stand. The grace in which we stand. It's interesting, in which we stand. It's a perfect tense used here, which has the idea of a permanency. It's our permanent standing. Our permanent standing. Now, you know I have to do something, right? I get in trouble sometimes when I don't do something, right? And you think, oh, that was dumb. This is dumb. Okay. Now, you can see my little rug. And it's prettier on this side. Okay. Now, you're going to have to work with me here because this is dumb. Okay? Now, Austin, I know. You'll forgive me, won't you, Austin?
Nope.
No, okay, Michael, okay. No, Austin, just stand here for a second, okay? Now, Austin is, he has to be my friend because he's a lot bigger. He has to protect me, right? So, Austin, before we do anything, please forgive me, okay? Now, Austin is standing on my rug, okay? Now, let's imagine. Now, this is the dumb part, right? This is, you have to imagine. Let's imagine standing on this rug. Now, Austin, just stand back for just a second. Just stand back. Now, I want you to step onto the rug right now. Just step on it again. This is an illustration, okay? It's not going to fall through. You're all right, Austin. You're all right. He thinks it's a trick rug. No, it's not. Okay. When we trusted Christ, we not only had peace with God, but we stepped into a whole new zone, a whole new realm. We stepped into the realm of grace, the realm of grace. Now, in this realm, now, far different from this little dinky rug, when we step into the realm of grace, we step into God's realm of blessing that abounds. And remember what we said? Because we stand there. We stand. It's a permanent idea. We never, as a believer, we never lose our position in Christ. We're always in that grace. In that grace. Now, let's think about what this means. Austin, you can forgive me and sit down, okay? Now, let's just think about this for a second, because this is really critical. We need grace not only to be saved, for by grace you're saved through faith. We're saved by grace through faith, but now we stand in grace. As I stand on my little, we stand in grace. What does that mean for us? What are the implications of that for us? How is that going to look? See, this is what not only starts my Christian life, this is what continues my Christian life. I need grace for every step of my journey. And God says, if you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, you never can get out of the zone of grace. Now, let's think for a moment. When we stand in grace, in this permanent standing, one says of grace, it is of a place of high favor with God. And you've heard this statement, God's riches at Christ's expense. You've heard that, right? Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Working off the letters, God's riches. So when we step at the moment of faith, we step into the realm of riches at Christ's expense. But these riches, not just to be saved, not just to have peace with God, although that alone would be worth the whole thing. But now we have grace, as one says, it is unlimited divine favor. Unlimited. And we could add unmerited. We don't deserve it. God's favor is upon us. It is upon us. Now, there are a variety of passages. I just read one passage in Ephesians 1. It says, His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. So He freely bestowed this grace on us. And then it goes on to say in Ephesians 1, 7, In Him, according to the riches of His grace, the riches, it's like we come into a, when you became a believer, you didn't realize it, but we came into a realm of wealth. Beyond comprehension. The riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us. Huge. He lavished it upon us. We need this grace. One says, Christianity is distinct from all other religions because it is a message of grace. Jesus Christ is the supreme revelation of God's grace. Salvation is by grace, and grace governs and empowers Christian living. Without it, and without grace, Christianity is nothing. That's the difference between Christianity and all the other religions. It is God's favor, unmerited, unlimited, riches lavished upon us. So what does that mean for us? What are some of the benefits of this? Well, let's just think for a second. I want to go to Romans 6, 14, and obviously there's so much more, and we'll just touch on it. Just touch on it, because we can't. There's no time to detail and explain it in the increments of it. But notice verse 14 of Romans 6. For sin, this is to a believer, for sin shall not be master over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. And what is that saying to us? Let's just be real simple. Because I'm under grace, I now have the opportunity. I can pass this up, but I have the opportunity to say no to sin. Sin does not have to rule my life. Now, for the unbeliever, they kind of direct the sin. But we as believers do not have to be enslaved to sin because of grace. Now, it goes in, and there's so much more detail, and by God's grace, we'll talk about it in times to come. But you can say no. Think of all the dear people that are imprisoned to some form of addiction this day. I mean, we have a world filled with addictions, all kinds of addictions. They're abounding in addictions. Now, Christians can get addicted too, right? We can mess around, play around, goof around, and get massively messed up. But by God's grace, we can begin. Now, it's a process, and you learn it, and we grow. But by God's grace, in His grace, we can begin to say, no way. I'm not going back there. Doesn't have to be my slave master because of grace. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I don't know where you're at, but let's think of another passage. This is in Hebrews chapter 4. We're just randomly picking a few things about grace. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Maybe this is what you need today. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Maybe that's exactly where you need to run today. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Is this a time of need? Well, we all have times of need. But we have those special hard times. And Jim mentioned that some of you are in those special hard times. And we can run to, and in grace, we can bow at the throne of grace. We can bow before God and call out to Him for our need to be met through His grace. May not be met exactly the way we want it to be or in the time we want it, but God's grace is always adequate. And that draws us to the passage, and I hope some of you have this memorized, 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, Christ said this to Paul, and he said to me, he said this personally to Paul, and he says it personally to us, and he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. You see, life is not easy. Let's don't pretend. Let's don't play that. It's not easy because we live in a sinful world. And just because you're saved, if you're saved, doesn't mean all the implications of sin have been erased because we live in a sinful world. But God's grace can give us sufficiency to deal with what we face. And Paul was facing terrible things. Terrible things. Every place he went, somebody was beating him up. I'm going to talk about this tonight on tribulations and how God uses tribulation. But I'm reading, I just finished last night a little book on Vietnam. These dear Christian people in Vietnam are suffering terribly, and they have for the century. Terrible suffering for being a believer in Christ. Because we live in a sinful world. But God's grace is sufficient, even in the midst of the mess. And maybe you just need to remember, you're in the zone. You have grace. You can now. You may not be drawn on it. Sometimes we have all these wonderful benefits, but we forget we have them. We don't know what we have. But God says you're in my zone of grace, and it's sufficient for you no matter what you face. Oh God, thank you. Thank you that your grace is adequate for whatever we're facing, whether it's illness or all kinds of things that break our heart. Thank you that your grace can touch me and carry me when I can't carry myself. You know, I was thinking about this, and we sang it today, but I just wanted to go back to Amazing Grace. And we're not going to sing it just for time's sake. If I can find it real quick. Oh, here. Amazing Grace. Yeah, thank you, Jack. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Now, I love this hymn. He says this. This is the verses you kind of sing and you don't think about. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. He's my portion because of His grace, His amazing grace. How sweet the sound. I hope you can just rest and rejoice in the result of God's gospel because of His grace. Now let's look at one more area before we finish. And this is still in verse 2. And verse 2 of our passage in Romans. Chapter 5, verse 2. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into the grace in which we stand. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. We exalt. Now the idea there, exultant rejoicing, jubilation. He's ecstatic. We should be ecstatic about this. You know, we get ecstatic about, you know, if our team wins the gold, right? We got something a lot better than gold. We should be ecstatic about this. Now, we don't got it yet, but we know it's ours. We know we've won the gold, but we haven't got the medal. Notice what it says. We exalt in hope. We exalt in hope. Now, notice, it's not just a gee whiz, I hope this. No, it is a confident expectation. A confident expectation. And I hope you have that. You know, that you are so confident. You are so convinced. And you are looking forward to this. And you know it's coming. And that's why you get excited about it. We exalt in this. Confident expectation of the glory of God. One writes, it denotes the confident anticipation of that which we have not yet seen. Now that's what makes it hard, right? That's what makes it hard. Because the Christian life starts with faith and is to be lived by faith, and that means we believe a lot of times what we can't see. And God is saying, hey, I got the gold medal. And it's the most awesome medal, and it's ahead, it's the glory of God. Can't see it yet. This is an issue of faith. But God said, it is ahead. If you've trusted Christ, you should be ecstatic about what is coming. The hope of the glory of God. We enter into that. Believers will share in the glory of God through Christ. It's so hard. I was trying to find a really good definition of glory. It's really hard to get a handle on. We might just call it God's divine excellence. His excellence. Everything that makes Him perfect and awesome and overwhelming. The believer in Christ will one day share in the ultimate experience of sharing the divine excellence. Our bodies are going to be transformed. Think of all those, you know, those things that aren't working. Those physical things, right? One day, all over. The heartbreaks, the sadnesses, done. Because we will have the ultimate experience of the divine excellence. One writes, glory refers to the state of things as God desires them. Good triumphs over evil. Justice prevails. Oh man, won't that be wonderful? There will be no crooked lawyers, no crooked deals. Justice prevails. Sin has no place, and everything exists in harmony with His holy character. I read just a few other passages that talk of glory. In Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have Christ, this is coming. This is yours. It's yours. When Christ, another passage in Colossians, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. In glory. 2 Timothy 2:10 says, that they also may obtain, talking to believers, obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. This is not just a little flicker. This is forever, eternal glory. Isn't that amazing? The results of the gospel include, and these are just some of the results, peace with God, which means safety. The position in grace, which means sufficiency. Whatever you face, He is adequate for. And the prospect of glory, that is our ultimate security. You know what? I was thinking, I really don't like driving in Toronto, you know? I feel like my lifespan is a lot shorter when I drive in Toronto, right? Everybody wants to go to heaven today, you know, because the way they're driving, we're all going in one big crash. And one day I was driving through with my thinking about heaven, driving through, you know, zim, 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 you know. Of course, the older I get, everybody goes faster. But anyway, I'm driving along, you know, I thought to myself, you know, I'm more secure on this highway, on this 401, than the majority of people who are driving down this road. Because my home is heaven. I'm heading for glory. My security is solid. It is sealed. I am safe. Because of the result of the gospel, we have safety. We have peace with God. We have sufficiency. We're in the position of grace. And we have ultimate, ultimate, ultimate security. Because this world is not our home. I'm just a passing through. I'm heading for glory. And that is certain. Is that certain for you? God loves you so much. That's why Christ came and died for you. God loves you so much. He wants all these benefits to be yours. If you've never trusted Him, today's the day to move from hostility into the realm of peace and grace and ultimate glory. May you put your trust in Him and Him alone. And may all of us who have trusted Him rejoice in the results of the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, we're here. The world tells us what you got is not worth anything. They are so wrong. We have everything. We have everything. Because of Christ and the gospel He has given us. Father, we pray if anyone here has not received the Lord Jesus as their Savior, today they might step from hostility into your wonderful peace, into your grace, for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.